Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Welcome back, or
welcome for the first time.
This is the Bible Story Podcast, a place where we share a Bible story each week, a lesson we draw from it, and a growth tip to help all of us grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
If you have yet to connect with us, be sure that you do that. You can find us on Instagram at the Bible Story Pod or subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Okay, so we are in season 5, which is a little bit wild. And today we're looking at a very impactful bit of teaching from the New Testament.
It is definitely very wild, definitely very crazy, and definitely something to celebrate. But before we get ahead, let's introduce ourselves. My name is John Drabert.
And my name is Drabert John.
Are you sure?
I'm the same, but better. Number two.
Wow.
My name is Braden Pahowicz.
So Braden and I both have the privilege of working at a summer camp and retreat center located in Alberta, Canada.
True. And John has the privilege of working with me.
That is correct.
We bring you this podcast most weeks from John's messy office or during COVID from my spare bedroom and John's kitchen table separately.
It's true, but let's jump into our story for today.
Sounds great. Well, like I said earlier, we are going to be looking at an important chunk of scripture. This one is found in Matthew.
So this chunk, as Braden describes it, is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and it goes over several chapters in the book of Matthew and holds a lot of the foundational teaching of Jesus' ministry.
Exactly. Generally, this sermon is believed to be early-ish in the years of Jesus' preaching and teaching journey. The disciple Matthew lays out a very good description of what Jesus' main themes were during this time.
So I really do enjoy this scripture. I find sometimes when we read through the poetry or the narrative side of the Bible, the lessons can be harder to understand or even find. But there is a lot of really, really practical words in this sermon spoken by Jesus. So I try to apply these every day to my life, but, you know, sometimes I fall short. Most days I do, but I try.
They're really good reminders. I agree. I really appreciate the very tangible and everyday applications of these teachings. Okay, John, it is your turn to start us off. So Jesus spoke about a lot of things during this sermon. There's like so much teaching in here. So what section are we focusing on today?
We are focusing on Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through the end of the chapter. And this section speaks to disagreement, dislike, and even, ready for it, Braden?
Yep.
Hatred.
Wow. Okay, so that is obviously some pretty heavy stuff. We are recording this, to put this in some context, John and I are recording this episode on January 8th, 2021, only a few short days after the riots and the storming of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
So that's the context of life for everyone right now. Both Braden and I struggle with the idea of speaking about this on the podcast today, but it's important. We live in Canada, as we said earlier, and this then shifts our perspective on the events that have occurred to the nation to our south of us.
Exactly. But as we spoke, we both agreed that our hearts were broken and saddened by the amount of hatred and violence that we had witnessed earlier through the news.
And this is where our lesson comes from today. Called to love. Called to love.
Definitely a heavy topic, but a really important lesson. A heavier topic than maybe most of our podcasts, but I do think it's very important to talk about. Now, John and I, we both recognize that life isn't always easy, good, or fun as much as we would like it to be. I mean, we work at summer camp. Fun is kind of number one for us. But Jesus never promised...
Safety is a far second, just so everybody knows.
Safety is a distant second. Just jokes.
Not really.
But Jesus never promised these things. He never promised that life would be specifically easy, good, or fun. We see people in the Bible, the disciples face challenges all the time. But we do know that God is faithful and that he works things out for good.
Yeah. And what happens in the news or maybe my personal life or to the people I love, it often doesn't make sense to me. doesn't align with my idea of good or bad.
So, John, what do you do with that feeling of not understanding, you know, the why of things happening?
I stuff it down deep, deep, deep and just never deal with it, you know.
It's super healthy, yeah.
You know, yeah. No. If I did that, I would be a mess. Maybe that explains why I am such a mess at times. But I try to turn to Scripture, to the teaching of Jesus. I try to find understanding and comfort, encouragement there.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture is truth, capital T, truth. And this allows us to seek understanding through it.
Yeah. I mean, this has always been really encouraging to me. I often try to understand, well, everything that is going on around me. John can attest that I ask a million questions about any given scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I agree. A lot of what has happened over the last 10 months is totally outside of my own understanding.
So, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to the end of the chapter is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's speaking to this idea of hurt, of being wronged, of being offended, even physically slapped in the face. Brayden, have you ever been slapped in the face?
Yes, but let's not get into that.
All right. We'll save it for another story?
Sure. Maybe.
Okay.
So this kind of speaks to how I feel when I don't understand someone's reactions or actions. When I read about the things happening in the news, I often think, man, how could somebody do that? I would never be able to do that. Hmm. Which is actually really just me saying that I don't understand how they got to the point of deciding that those were going to be their actions. It still makes me feel wronged and hurt, even though I wasn't there physically. I wasn't in the United States several days ago, but I still hurt I feel sorrow and I'm saddened by the news. And, you know, I hurt because I see the hatred and the anger being spread.
Yeah, it's tough for us to not want to yell and get angry back at all the things that we saw. To jump into the chaos of the situation and add to it, or posting our opinions online.
Absolutely.
It's hard to find restraint at times. But again... Mm-hmm. We can turn to the Bible for wisdom, for guidance, and for truth. Capital T, truth.
This is where this section of scripture actually really hits me. Jesus speaks to the crowd of people. He speaks about the idea of not just loving only the people who we find it easy to love.
Easy to love, hey? So easy to love like me, Brayden?
Yes. Easy
to love. Thank you. So what do you mean by easy to love, Brayden?
Well, I mean, it's the people that love us back. The people who do nice things and bring us joy. Those are the ones that are easy to love. The ones that bring, you know, lightheartedness or comfort to our life. It even just happens naturally. We don't have to put a lot of effort into loving them.
So that's pretty much a perfect description of me. Thank you, friend. But the people who cause us pain, suffering, hurt, the people we don't understand, you know, those are the hard ones for us to love, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus calls us to love everybody, not simply family or friends or, you know, your super cool boss / coworker / friend.
I love
you. But the people that we see differently, that know or like different things, that disagree with us, even the people that flat out hate us or do us wrong or intentionally hurt us, you know, it's a calling. It's not a suggestion. We are called to love.
Yeah. And this is not easy. But God doesn't call us to easy, does he? It
No.
says in the Bible that we are to be in the world, but not of the world, meaning to understand the world is fallen and broken and a sinful place, and to not get comfortable living in the world and living that way.
Imagine this for a second, John, okay?
Okay.
Imagine if we, you know, Christians as a whole were able to be in the world but stand out by sharing the love of Jesus, not by condemning those who wrong us, but, you know, to love those people actually more, to share more love with them, to care for them, to recognize their hurt. John, you always say that hurt people hurt people.
It's true.
You know, meaning that if someone is hurt, they're gonna kind of respond in that way. And I know that this is an idealistic point of view, but even if we made actions out of this mindset, out of the idealistic mindset, I mean, rather than asking how I could make a person see it my way, you know, what if I asked how I could understand that person more?
Yeah. How can I love them? It's such simple ideas, right?
Yeah.
Such simple ideas, but so hard when we get caught up in the emotion of the moment.
Yeah.
You know, understanding someone does not mean agreeing with them, as well as loving someone, even though they have caused you hurt, does not mean that you accept or support their actions.
Right. In this section of Matthew, Jesus speaks briefly of the sun. You know, how it rises and sets on all of the people, not just the good people and not just the bad people, but all people. This helps me understand some of these things. This life, us, as God's creation and children, each day the sun rises and it sets. You know, we get choices. We get free will. We get to choose how we react to the world around us. And God asks us, in fact, he commands us to choose love. It's pretty easy when we get to read it in scripture. I'm going to do that here. So in Matthew 5, verse 45, it says, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust."
That's a great scripture. And it's not to say that it's easy to do, easy to love people, but it's so simply laid out to choose love. No, it's not just about spreading joy, fun, or good feelings, you know, things that we love at summer camp.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there's nothing wrong with those things, but love is deeper. It's so transformative. You know, mm-hmm. God gave his son to die for our sins because he loves us.
Yeah, I mean, think about this for a second. We find it hard to love people that hurt us. That's what we're talking about. We find it hard when they have wronged us or gone against us or even just think differently than us. I get that. But we do that to God every single day. We sin. We fall short time and time again. We turn our backs on him. We choose self-destruction and selfish acts. Yet he sent his son. He redeemed us. He paid the price for our sins so he could continually and forever love us, and we could live continually and forever in relationship with him.
You know, I cannot think of a person in all of history that has been more wronged than Christ, and yet I can't think of anybody who has loved more than Christ.
No, I don't think there is anybody.
Which is pretty unreal that he is the one giving this teaching of saying love.
It's amazing.
Yeah. When I think of that, loving others becomes, you know, it just becomes a little bit more easy. He gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands being wronged, and he helps me understand. It's about me setting aside myself and my thoughts and my opinions and showing others the love of God through me. His love is boundless, without judgment. It's timeless.
Yeah. I mean, it helps turn this command to love into something that I need to do with God. You know, knowing that his love transforms us, heals us, and guides our hearts, I need him to help me with this because, man, if I ignore him in the equation, I'm going to get mad and upset and saddened by the world around me. You know, it all, at those moments, seems far too much for me to do alone.
Yeah, it is too much for you, too much for me, anybody to do alone. We can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it this way. It's not too much for you to do with God, is it?
No. And as simple as it sounds, sometimes humbling myself and ditching the anger that I'm feeling long enough to invite God into the process is the hardest part.
Totally agree. You know, setting my feelings aside in order to receive and share the gift of God's love isn't always the easiest thing. But I do know this. From my own experience, it is the most life-changing option out there. It's far more compelling of an argument than just yelling at someone to change their opinion or their behavior.
Even though yelling at someone might be our first desire when right. We're so angry.
Maybe.
John, specifically. Jokes. But hear us out. You know, this is a heavy topic. It's a heavy topic for both of us. It's a heavy topic for me. When I heard the news, when I was reading the articles and watching the videos, man, I felt heavy. I you know, I live here in Alberta, Canada. I'm very removed from the scenario, but these things impact me. They impact all of us. But I will say, going through this, the action of, you know, writing some of these thoughts down for this podcast and talking to John about it and actually just recording this now, it's really helped.
Yeah. You know, I've appreciated the time that we've gotten to reflect on it and talk mm-hmm. about it. And it's been a good thing.
Yeah. I always find it fascinating how scripture, you know, although it was written a long time ago by many different people, can speak so directly to our life today.
Yeah, not just one person's life, Braden, but, you know, it's all of our lives. It's kind of crazy to think that it's so timeless.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing that it somehow speaks to the scenarios of everyday life so well. I mean, it baffles me, but we got to move on. We're running heavy on time here. So it's time for the growth tip. And John, I noticed that there is no music playing. I do not hear mm-hmm. any music in my headphones.
Mm-hmm. It's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, so I was going to assume that you, John, have yet to figure out our jingle-less problem.
Yes, the jingle problem is yet to be solved. We will get that corrected in the future.
Man, I'm just going to pick up some spoons on the way home and write a jingle, I guess, with those. Because, you know, you've given me zero choice, John.
You know, I'm possibly horrified by the idea of you possibly writing a song that will have a possible outcome of, well, something.
We could call it spoonage instead of tunage.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, so for the growth tip today, okay. Braden, what do you have for us?
The growth tip for today is really simple, just as being called to love seems simple, but can be very difficult in action. It's something that I often do when I'm trying to understand people better or understand who people who have hurt me. It's the first step that helps me love those people better. I pray for them. So that's the growth tip, is to pray for them. Pray for those who have hurt you. Or for those who have wronged you. Pray for them each day. Pray for them several times a day. Every time they come to your mind, whether that's anger or sadness or frustration, pray for them. It sounds easier, but you might find it very difficult.
You know, it's a great first step to loving people. Mm-hmm. You know, I know God transforms hearts. He transforms my heart when I pray. And I know you've talked to me about the same type of experience. And we often see this in prayer, that God transforms people's hearts. So I really like this idea. I agree with you, Braden, that it's not the easiest thought to ask God to bless those who hurt us. But, you know, I do find it shifts how I feel about the situation and those people every single time without failure. It shifts, it transforms my heart. So God's doing something mm-hmm. in me.
I mean, exactly. We might not see the physical situation change. We might not see the things that we can see or notice, you know, visually change. But I often see the shift in perspective or feelings that's changed through praying for people, you know, specifically the ones that are hard to love. Often it's either a shift in me or a shift in them. We're all God's children. And just as the scripture says, the sun rises and sets on all of us. We all sin and fall short, and we are all still miraculously loved by God.
That's such an incredible thought, loved by God.
So, guys, listeners, honestly, you are amazing, and it's been such a blessing to be on this podcast journey with you, to experience this with you. I pray that you feel God's love this week in new and exciting ways.
We're praying for you that you will grow in a relationship with Jesus and that you will answer that call to love.
Until next week, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.